Oh man, it is what it is.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, January 17th, 2023. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to Tassie, it's the bearded one, Matasha Hotboy. Trey Kirby.
Heyo.
Heyo. And last but not least, making the magic happen, we got two super producers today, JD and Eshua Kid. What's up, guys?
How y'all doing?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Oh,
we're
just making
noises. We're doing good. How y'all doing?
Doing good. Doing good.
All right.
Nice. Everybody's good.
Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. We love to see it. Comment away. Some fun tangents going on while they were waiting for us to go live this morning. Like the vid if you haven't subscribed to No Dunks on YouTube. We have hit 60,000. We're on our way to 70K. Let's do it by the end of this week. Let's go. Few programming notes. New Is This Good podcast. It went up yesterday. Dropped it on a Monday. The Ringer's Big Waz joining Matty O and JD to discuss surprise parties, third wheeling with couples, sneaking snacks into a movie theater. I haven't listened to this yet, but if somebody is down on that, I'm going to have a problem. So go check out Is This Good. You can watch it on YouTube. It's available on Apple, Spotify, wherever you download and listen to podcasts. Just search for Is This Good with Matty O there. Also, this is really fun. Big announcement here in the No Dunks world. No Dunks is back going live. Live show, Salt Lake City, All-Star Weekend. We have our date. We have our location. And tomorrow, you'll be able to buy tickets. Friday, February 17th, 8 p.m. local time. What is it, mountain time out there in Salt Lake City? I'm not sure. They got mountains. We will be performing at the Urban Lounge. And I guess from the looks of this promo asset we have here, we might be playing a little jazz.
Bring your pork pie hat.
Okay.
That's all I'll say.
Again, tickets are going to go on sale tomorrow. If you're in Salt Lake City for All-Star Weekend or if you live there, come and join us for a live show. It'll be our first live show since Chicago 2020 at All-Star Weekend, which was a banger of a show.
It was a great show.
And we were like, all right, man, we're riding high. We can't wait to do one of these every month. And it took 3 years to get back there, but hopefully it's just as fun as it was in Chicago there in Salt Lake City on Friday, February 17th.
It'll be fun.
Definitely going to be fun. I mean, I don't know if anybody's going to be there, but we'll be there.
We'll be there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there will be, we'll get into it in more detail once the tickets are actually available for sale, but there will be some VIP tickets. Like if you want to do the old meet and greet and hang with us, I guess pre-show before that live show. Anyway, we'll get into that later in the week when we have real tickets to sell you. Also, tomorrow night, NBA Watch Party on playback, January 18th. That is Wednesday. We're going to start with Trae Young versus Luka Doncic, ESPN game.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
That's right.
Yeah, around 7:30 Eastern time. Then we'll bounce around because there's tons of games on tomorrow night. Playback. The link is available in the show notes there. If you haven't signed up for an account, it's free. And then you log in with like whatever your subscription service is, International League Pass, Xfinity, Hulu.
It's
YouTube,
a perfect time
blah, blah,
for
blah.
Trey versus Luka, too.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
All Hawks fans, angry with management.
Hawks are winning at least right now. That's good. Good time.
They're winning ish. Yeah, good time to go up against Luka.
All right, well, we are here this morning to recap the NBA MLK Day action. There were a lot of games on yesterday. Good job on the timing of the games, I thought. I liked how they were spaced out. I wish we get, you know what? Look, I'm going to say
schedule skates
is because we don't have a job, a real job like normal people. I wish this happened once a week where it was just like matinee games on, games on all day. Again, we do a show and go home and then just start thinking and reading about basketball and watching basketball and stuff like that. So, like, I would love more matinee games. I'm sure the international people would, too. Better times.
Yeah. I like them at night, personally.
Do you?
Yeah. I got stuff to do during the day.
What are you doing yesterday? What did you have to do yesterday?
Drive home from a camping trip, unpack the car, make food for kids, entertain children. There's a lot to do yesterday.
Why would you have children? That was your first one. No, okay, that makes sense. You're right. People got stuff to do, but I enjoyed the games yesterday. I thought we had some fun ones to get into. So I got some questions for you guys. First one is just, what was your favorite game from NBA MLK Day 2023?
Not only were there good matinee games, Skeets, they just picked good matchups yesterday.
I'm saying.
The fact that they picked Minnesota versus Utah, Rudy Gobert, the center of Utah's past, versus Walker Kessler, the center of their future. Did they know that when they traded Rudy Gobert for Walker Kessler and Patrick Beverley and Malik Beasley and Jared Vanderbilt and picks? Nah, they had hoped, I'm sure, that Walker Kessler was going to be good. But yesterday, Walker Kessler was awesome against Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert left in the first quarter, had some groin issues. But Walker Kessler just was so solid. A 20-20 game. That doesn't happen often for rookies in the NBA. Last rookie to do it, 2014. First time it's happened in Utah Jazz franchise history. And you think of him as a guy who doesn't have much of an offensive game, but I thought yesterday against the Wolves in a close win, he was showing that he can be that guy in the short roll, catching those passes, fire into guys in the corner. He kind of fooled Kyle Anderson once with a little hesitation. He's got some moves, and he was pissed, actually. Just going back to their previous game, they lost to the 76ers in a close one, because that's what the Jazz do. Joel Embiid hits a game winner over Walker Kessler. Walker Kessler was mad in the locker room afterwards, just seething, thinking to himself, I should have blocked that shot. Even though it was a fadeaway, classic Joel Embiid, which is a classic Dirk, he thinks he should have blocked that shot, because he does block a lot of shots. Since he entered the starting lineup for Kelly Olynyk, who left with an injury about four games ago, he's averaging 13-13, three blocks, 69% shooting.
Nice.
And he's looking a lovely. Yeah, a great game for them. They win a close one down the stretch. They always lose close ones. Anthony Edwards, I thought, did the smart thing. He got into the paint, and he looked for Jaden McDaniels in the corner. Found him, wide open three. He missed it. That would have given the Wolves a win, but just a nice draw by the NBA schedulers.
Nice draw.
Kessler right there. Versus Rudy. And apparently, according to Tony Jones of The Athletic, after the game in the hallways, they saw each other and Rudy Gobert congratulated him. He's like 9 years younger than him. And the talk is amongst Jazz fans, would we trade Walker Kessler for Rudy Gobert straight up right now?
I know, I saw this.
I think the answer is no. I don't like to jump to conclusions, but jump all the way there. Walker Kessler is very, very, very solid for them. And he's just an a-hole to play against. He's very, very long. And I think he's going to get better offensively.
All right.
Danny, you did it again, man.
There you go. Jazz Wolves, your favorite game of MLK Day.
Yeah,
but it was
one
point victory there. They were down 10 in the fourth quarter. Jazz were, like you said, rallied to get into it, and he was huge. 20 points, 21 rebounds.
That's a lot of roast beef.
There it is. That guy looks like he just eats a lot of roast beef to me, too.
Only beef.
Yeah, doesn't he?
Straight beef. Yeah, I wouldn't want to see his angry face.
No.
His happy face is wild.
Okay, I like that one. I'm glad we're starting with that. Do you have another one that was a favorite game there from yesterday?
Skeets, you know I love a tale of two halves.
Okay.
Had one here in Atlanta, Hawks versus Heat. I feel like these two teams, despite the fact they only play each other four times a season, they really play each other 12 times a year. It does feel like Hawks versus Heat. This one was interesting because the Hawks got up big time in the first half. They have had a problem hanging on to leads throughout this season, and the Heat made a great run at it in the second half. They eventually cut the lead to 5 on a Victor Oladipo dunk, but DeJounte Murray hit a huge 3, a dagger to answer. Ended up with 12 points in the fourth quarter. Did Murray. Big games by Trae Young, who had a whole bunch of turnovers as well, unfortunately. Yeah. And DeJounte Murray. AJ Griffin, I thought, had an awesome first half for the Hawks. They had a great first quarter. He came in, scored, I think, 12. In the second quarter, didn't score in any of the remaining three quarters, but it doesn't matter. 3 straight wins for the Hawks. That's their best win streak of the season. They're at 500 right now.
Yep.
Feels like there's still a lot of turmoil around, but that's a game that the Hawks have lost a lot of times already this season, where they get off to a big lead. The better team, looking at it objectively, makes a comeback, and they're not able to respond to the response from the other team. But they definitely came back and got the game back under control in the fourth quarter, and a large part of it was because DeJounte Murray was playing so well.
Yeah. And look, I mean, it's who they're playing and beating there yesterday that's important, too. Like, they're right there with the Heat as one of these teams trying to get out of the play-in to catch the Knicks and stuff like that. So, you know, to win that, to pull yourself within a game and a half of Miami, who's currently in the 7th spot. Then you got the Pacers there at 8th, Hawks now in 9th, Bulls right behind them at 10th, a couple games back. Raptors, you know, we'll get to them in a second, I'm sure. Very entertaining game against the Knicks where they pulled it out in overtime. But, yeah, that was like a lot of Hawks games this season, they lose that one.
Oh,
for
yeah.
sure.
Oh,
they, yeah. We've talked before about, like, They seem to lack some fight at times. But, yeah, got back and got the job done. And DeJounte Murray is actually – I mean, there's been a lot going around surrounding this team with obviously Trae Young as your superstar and the John Collins trades and are you moving off your coach? He's like – he hasn't been amazing. I don't want to go overboard, but he has been solid. I think as of late, DeJounte Murray may be finding his role a little bit better here with Atlanta. Good win here from the Hawks. Ka-ka! I'll drop a ka-ka on you.
It's been a while.
It has.
Because they haven't had a good season. Feels like this three-game win streak, although they've had one additional three-game win streak, is despite the turmoil, it's the best they played in a long time this season. So, yeah, they started 4-1, but it feels like forever ago. And can they rally? Can you start to believe? Anyways, perfect time for a Luka versus Trae Young Wednesday night matchup.
There you go. Good job, ESPN, penciling that one in. I will go with my favorite game because it was very entertaining, not just because I'm a homer, but the Raptors-Knicks game, Toronto pulling it out in overtime. Just a wild game. The Knicks were up pretty significantly with about 5 minutes to go in MSG. It looked like they were going to take care of business. Toronto surges back, 12-3 run. Van Vliet making big play after big play. Then he made one of the most boneheaded plays I've seen this season, especially from a guy like Van Vliet, who usually knows time and score and all that. He just fouled Jalen Brunson purposely in the backcourt with like less than 20 seconds to go, as if the Raptors were behind. Like, he thought, we got a foul.
Absolutely.
To get the ball back, but they were tied. So that was bad. Also bad, giving up a hell of a dunk by R.J. Barrett. Going coast to coast in 6 seconds, you know, turning the corner on Scottie Barnes. He probably got fouled, too. Scottie Barnes' offhand was on R.J. Barrett, but he powered through, dunked it, and that got us into overtime. Then finally, OG Anunoby stepped up, hit some threes, two timely threes, but it's the Raptors, so nothing is easy. They nearly give it away at the end of overtime. I think they were up six with not a lot of time left, and some turnovers, some missed free throws, and it ended with Jalen Brunson having a shot at the end there, a really good look too, to extend this game. Or would that put up? Were they down two? Yeah, they were down two. That would have won the game. Jalen Brunson, if he had splashed that three, but he missed it, and the Raptors held on for the victory. After a 3-3 homestand, they really just beat the Hornets. They beat the Blazers too, but
that's good.
Had some disappointing performances. Lost to the Hawks in a bad one on the weekend, but they need every win they can have right now, and they pulled it out.
And we would definitely be focusing on the Fred boneheaded move and the Scottie Barnes boneheaded move, shooting that free throw and allowing R.J. Barrett to go by and playing his right hand for some reason when R.J. Barrett is a left-handed player.
Good call.
Just sitting on it and letting him go left for a monster dunk. That happens too much in the NBA. Just that last-second guy gets to the rim. I think that's one of my most annoying things that annoys me. Just guys getting to the rim in such situations like that, happens a lot. Anyway, we shouldn't be talking about that with Scottie Barnes, because Scottie Barnes had his best game in a long time. He was forceful.
Yeah.
And he's just making things happen. It was the exact same Scottie Barnes replica of last year, where he wasn't called. The play wasn't called for him quite often, but he made an impact, getting his hands on the ball, making things happen, just being around the ball at all times. I'm not sure if it's the new hairdo, which looks cool, but I think that was a big part of, like, there's no way the Raps win this game without Scottie Barnes doing what he did. He was great. It felt like a flashback there for a sec.
He's actually playing the best basketball definitely of his season over the last couple of games, so that is a bright spot there for the Raptors, despite, again, like I said, going 3-3 in that homestand, which a lot of people thought, ooh, this might make or break their season. We'll get into some trade rumors later. CJ McCollum was saying things on his podcast. He was hearing rumblings about the Raptors. That got everybody fired up because he's the president of the Players Association. Should he be saying that? We'll get into that a little bit later, but a very entertaining game there in MSG between the Knicks and the Raps. All right, next question from yesterday. Best play, I guess, besides the R.J. Barrett coast-to-coast
dunk to tie the game
with less than a second to go. Again, I think he was fouled. What would you go with besides that?
Jason Tatum's last three-pointer.
Oh, I have that down, too.
Gave him 51 points, got MVP chance in Charlotte, and after the game, he gave credit to Jamal Crawford for getting to 50. He said, Jamal texted me after a game when I had 49. He's like, if you're ever that close to 50, nobody's going to remember the time and score. They're just going to report if you got 50 or not. That's what was going through my mind. Jamal telling me if you get that close to 50, go get it. I thought that was awesome because there is no reason for Jason Tatum to shoot that last shot. Mm-hmm. That is against every single unwritten rule in the game. But he basically hit three back-to-back-to-back jacks, three-pointers, to go from, I guess, 42 points to 51 points.
Yeah.
When the Celtics needed the first couple of them, they didn't necessarily need the last one. I thought it was a sort of a professional win for the Celtics. They got out to a huge lead. They took their foot off the gas. The Hornets came back, and the Celtics just strung those pearls together. They made free throws. They had a bunch of offensive rebounds, and then they hit Tatum hitting three straight threes. Pretty good timing, all-star voting-wise.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, will he hold on to one of those
he should.
Starting front court spots?
To start
I think
the
he
game.
Probably will, too.
This definitely wasn't the game of the day, but because Eric Collins, Hornets broadcaster, was on the call, it was almost game of the day for me. Because when Tatum hit it, even though he's on the opposing team, Eric Collins just yelled out, "Everyone knew in the building that he was going to shoot it, and you still couldn't stop him." And then, as you said, those three shots in a row, the first one, Eric Collins just went, "Ah!" That's all he did. Just made that noise. He was hot. He was as hot as Jason Tatum, I thought. There was a point earlier in the broadcast, Eric Collins said, "There are three Williams on the floor. All I got to do is say Williams, and it's a 30% chance I got it right." And the Celtics missed. Mark Williams had a push-ahead opportunity, and he dunked on Robert Williams.
Yeah.
Williams, Gar's on top of Williams. It was perfect timing. It was literally, PG said, there's three Williams on the floor. Collins was giving it. First game of the day, he brought the energy.
Yeah, it was the lone game there for a little bit
to
start it off, that matinee game. Yeah, he was on
Way
fire.
To go, Eric.
Way to go, Eric. And great job there by Jason Tatum. Season high, 51 points. Is it the – I think I read it's maybe the seventh time?
I think that's right.
He's done 50 points in his career already.
Wow.
Which is, it's unbelievable. What do you got for best play, though? Anything else?
I'm kind of lumping in a bunch of plays. The Draymond Green situation in Washington, because the Wizards at home to the Warriors, who stink on the road. They're 4-17 on the road coming in. They just gave up 43 to Vucevic and the Bulls.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, and so it didn't look good. They're down in the fourth against the Wizards, but Draymond Green came to life because of a couple fans sitting behind the scorer's table. They poked the Draymond Green bear, and he just came through. He had a couple threes in the fourth, 11 points overall, four assists, a steal, and an assist. Those fans were basically they were saying, "You're not in the Hall of Fame. There's no chance you're in the Hall of Fame," and that got to him to the point that affected him so much to the point that Warriors brass was there because they're going to the White House today, Tuesday, and so all of the Warriors front office was there.
Right.
And according to Anthony Slater of The Athletic, Bob Myers and Mike Dunleavy Jr. of the front office, they went to these two fans and they said, "Hey, do you want to join us on our trip to Boston? Because literally, if you get there, we will put you courtside."
Because you got them going.
Yes, we need you. And that's kind of the sad thing about the Warriors. Well, those guys declined, by the way. They weren't going to pay for the travel. They were going to pay for the tickets, I guess, and they declined.
They should have paid for the travel, too.
Yeah, for
Warriors
sure.
Warriors got a lot of money.
They may
millions.
Have, unlike us, they may have real jobs they got to get to.
I don't know.
But that's the sad thing about this Warriors team. Again, they came in 4-17 on the road.
Yeah.
They do need stuff like that to get them going. Even though Curry and Poole combined for 73 in this game, they needed somebody else to step up. And Draymond Green did that offensively, defensively. I'm not convinced that this Warriors team can just turn it on in the playoffs. I don't know if they have that spark. Sometimes it just takes two guys saying, "You're not going to the Hall of Fame," to get them a road victory. It literally, that's what it was.
Don't you think we have selective memory with these things, these incidences? There must be other games where Draymond went like 0-9.
Oh, totally.
And people were barking at him three rows back, "You're never going to make the Hall of Fame. You stink." And like, we don't hear a peep out of that. It's not like Draymond after the game or on his podcast goes, "Man, those guys got me. Like,
they got it.
Really
got
my head. I couldn't shoot, couldn't score." So kudos to them. We only hear the ones where, you know, fan fired up player X and that really got, you know, we've seen it with LeBron before and, you know, Raptors fans for sure barking at him and stuff like that. I just think it's pretty funny.
Yeah, but apparently the entire Warriors front office knew it was happening. You don't get that.
Yeah, you're
often, right.
Right. It must have been good hecklers.
They must have been on fire. Because he wasn't complaining about what they were saying either.
No.
He was like giving them credit for solid trash talking,
yeah.
which I think is good. I will say Draymond did give Celtics fans credit last year in the finals when he was playing terrible, and it was "F you, Draymond" from the entire crowd.
Right.
He's like, that was messing with me. Oh. But then Steph responded for him.
Yeah. Curry's like, I got
this. Yeah, it was a little different.
Don't worry. Well, it was also like, I mean, like you said, the Celtics playing in Charlotte and people like cheering MVP Tatum. For Tatum. And like Celtics fans travel. Like they're in every arena. There's a lot of them, especially the Hornets have won like 11 games. So I get it. I felt like that was happening also with Curry and the Warriors in Washington there yesterday too. There was a large contingent of Warriors fans, or at least maybe Wizards fans, cheering for Steph Curry. A couple of the bombs he hit, and you know, they were showing up for them too on the road.
A lot of them.
Yeah.
Steph has done some work in Washington before. Isn't that where he had his? He had a monstrous. Was it 11-3 game? 12-3? It felt like he was going for the record. In Washington, I feel like this that. A few years ago.
They just respect him.
Yeah.
How can you?
Yeah, he's the greatest.
You come out to he's see the him there. I'm going to go with a weird best play from yesterday. It was in a blowout game. The Grizzlies extended their season-high winning streak to 10 games. I feel like this is like gone completely under the radar that the Grizz have won 10 straight. They're right there with the Nuggets still at the top of the West. 136-106 win over the very shorthanded Phoenix Suns. No Booker still, no Chris Paul, all that. But did you see the play where Ja Morant, he went off in the third quarter. This is a nationally televised game. He's going to show out. He takes over in the third quarter, and then after a pull-up jumper over Suns guard Saben Lee, Ja Morant, he fell to the floor. He sort of bounced up, like onto his ass, pointed with his right arm, and then he started pumping his arms back and forth, talking to the camera, basically saying, he can't guard me. He can't guard me, which is very true. Saben Lee doesn't have much of a chance against Ja Morant. But just, you know, this guy's a showman. And some people hate the Grizzlies for all the dancing pregame and the way they carry themselves, not having won a title yet and all that. But, I mean, I don't care. I love it. At least he's making, like, a 30-point blowout game somewhat entertaining, giving us a highlight, giving us a clip on a jumper, just telling the world he can't guard us.
Yeah, I mean, this was the one game I didn't really have a take on.
No.
I saw that as well. It's like, Ja Morant is awesome, and he's a highlight a minute. Both him and Desmond Bane had more points than minutes played yesterday. The Phoenix Suns are cooked.
Yeah. They've got some, they may have some decision-making here as we get closer to the deadline. I mean, I'm still trying to trade Crowder, but when is Booker back is where we're at with this season. I don't even know at this point if this guy comes back. Could he save them and get their season back on track? Asking
They're
a lot 12th from them
right now. That's wild.
I know they dropped in a hurry,
lost 8 of 10 or something.
Now they're 12th, right? But aren't they probably a handful
it's
games back
right now?
Yeah,
still.
But I don't know what the update is on Booker. It's not he ain't coming back next week. I think he's maybe being reassessed.
I think it's another
re-evaluated.
Week to be reevaluated.
Yeah.
But I also liked the highlight from Ja where he was going left. It looked like he tripped and fell down and still somehow finished with a lefty layup.
Yeah.
Just cool. The guy the body fell control. Over. Fell over and they couldn't do anything about it.
That was, you know, the scheduler's one flub. Didn't work out. Well, sure. Booker was out. What are you going to do?
Looked good on paper. Preseason, that looks great on paper.
Yeah. Looks great on paper.
Yeah. And you mentioned the Grizzlies' 10-game win streak. The Nuggets, a 6-game win streak atop the Western Conference. Those two teams, although there's a glut further down, are separating themselves from third. Full 4.5 games, 5 in the loss column over the third-place Pelicans.
Oh, there you go. I think the Celtics are the same in the East, too, right?
Yes.
They're 4.5 now up on the Nets and Bucks that are still trying to chase them there. So some separation happening here in the standings, at least at the top. Final question from NBA MLK Day. What was the biggest question mark for you after watching all the games? Watching maybe a particular team, a player, whatever. Who wants to get us started?
Okay, I got a weird one.
Okay.
Kevin Love, during a break in play, slapped the butt of Larry Nance as hard as he possibly could. And Larry Nance complained to the ref, "Hey, that's a foul." Literally, "Hey, that's a foul," twice. And my biggest question mark is it a foul?
Should it be a foul?
A guy did not enjoy the butt.
The
he
playful
did not.
Butt slap.
Yeah. But number one, was a hard butt slap. Number
it
two,
was a very hard butt slap.
They are former teammates, so there is some love there.
Yeah.
But the third thing is, he didn't like it. He definitely did not like it.
You imagine they went and checked that out with Sikakis and talking to, it's not Borgia anymore, but whoever is there in the control center, Monty in his bow tie. We gotta break down how hard the slap is, whether the player receiving the slap actually liked it.
Yeah, if you like it, it's fine.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, he hated it. So, it's my question.
But it wasn't, correct me if I'm wrong, it wasn't, like, the ball was not live yet, right? It was before the inbounds?
No, they're waiting.
So what happens if I playfully slap your ass during gameplay? while you're dunking.
Oh, that's a foul. Is that a foul? Too dangerous in that scenario.
Yeah, okay.
That sounds like a, seems like a flagrant one to me.
Unsportsmanlike?
Unsportsmanlike. Reckless. Excessive.
In today's NBA, I agree.
Oh, my God. You that's how soft we are. We can't even slap each other in the ass anymore.
Flagrant half. New category.
Yeah. If you get both cheeks, it's a flagrant
you
one.
You are, as the one who gets slapped, you are entitled to slap back. Like Reggie Evans and Grant Hill back in the day. You should be allowed, if somebody slaps you too hard on the butt, you should be able to slap them back 10% harder.
We have, now that you say that, we have seen texts handed out, or at least texts, right, handed out for playful slapping. Wasn't there playful a Vince slapping. Carter Mo Pete?
Oh, yeah.
Incident
yeah.
back
Mo
in the
Pete
day?
Got tossed
right.
for a playful slap.
Yeah, it was a playful slap.
Yeah.
All right. The officials need to know the history between the players and what's been happening, you know, place prior
right.
to the build-up to the butt slap.
Yeah, I think
it was a very aggressive butt slap from Kevin Love. I'll give you that.
I think the referee knew that on the scouting report. He knows these guys are former teammates. So
you got to know.
So, yeah, there's no Kevin Love loss, but you got to – that was flagrant. I think that was
He was really mad. What's a question mark you got from yesterday's action?
I got to set you a scene here first before I can ask you a question.
All right.
Guess what? It's already two questions.
Okay.
Jabari Smith Jr. came up to LeBron James in the middle of Lakers versus Rockets and told LeBron that his father, Jabari Smith Sr., now played against LeBron in his first game. Both LeBron and JBJ, you think they'll catch on for Jabari Smith Jr.?
No.
JSJ, I guess.
Yeah.
They both said it made LeBron feel old. LeBron then went out and scored 48 points against the Rockets, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
So here's the biggest question marks to me. First, Jabari Smith Sr. didn't actually get in the game.
Right, right. He was a DNP.
He was a DNP for the Kings way back when in 2003. So does that count? And second of all, should you just wait till after the game to tell LeBron that you play that his dad, that your dad played against him?
I say
you go for it when you have the opportunity.
Yeah.
Because you never know. Post-game, LeBron's being yanked everywhere. You may not have an opportunity.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a cool-ass moment. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
It's in the game.
Now, the part where his dad actually didn't play in the game, I want to know if dad just didn't tell the full details to son. Because it's like, you know, it's like, it's a bit of a lie.
Yeah.
But there's some truth to it. I mean, I assume he sued. I assume he was in uniform for that game, just never got onto the floor there back in LeBron's first game. But that, he didn't play. He didn't play against him in his first game. I think he did play against him later in his
could be.
In LeBron's rookie season.
That makes it better. I think it's fine.
I think it's fine.
You think it's fine? Yeah.
But
he was on the bench.
Yeah, but
he warmed up.
Yeah.
I think it's okay.
But it's no different than saying, I guess if like you were sitting courtside, like
come on.
Well, what do you mean?
He was on the team. He's not a fan.
Well, it's no different than an assistant coach then saying it.
No,
he's on the team.
On the team,
or a ball boy.
Okay, so let's say Jabari Smith got in crunch time. Or, I'm sorry, in garbage time.
Yeah,
the game was over,
and LeBron wasn't on the floor.
Yeah. Did he play against him?
Nah. Well,
not
ooh,
really.
That's really a technicality then. Yeah.
He's on the team. It's okay. And he played against him later in his career or later in the season. Totally cool.
Okay.
Nice fib.
It was nice. I like that we caught that was caught on Mike at least.
Yeah, it was
that
cool.
Little exchange.
Very cool.
And LeBron's response was pretty funny too. Yeah, like the God, I'm old type
thing. Legitimately old. But he also had 48 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists on the second night of a back-to-back after he had 35 against the Sixers. That was a tough loss for LA against Philadelphia. But
yes.
A nice bounce back for LeBron. And if he's playing, he's what? Let me do some math here. 83 points in back-to-back nights.
This
he's counting down All-Star right now. Break. Yeah, exactly right. He just joined the 38,000 point club as well after this weekend.
Over the weekend. Well, I had as my biggest question mark. It's a much I guess a bigger picture question than you had there with the Jabari incident. But like, how much longer can LeBron keep doing this? Because this is oddly an overlooked story, and I know it's going to start ramping up here as he gets closer and closer to beating Kareem's record. He's only 316 points shy of surpassing Kareem now. And if he keeps up his, like, basically 30 points per game average, and he doesn't miss any time due to injury or taking rest, he'll break it in, like, February 7th or, like, 9th or something like that. Like, probably that little home stretch there against OKC or Milwaukee if he keeps up this pace and he doesn't miss games. If he misses some games, maybe it comes a little bit later. But my point is, like, I think Chris Branch wrote about this in the Athletic Pulse, that great newsletter that goes out. Get yourself an Athletic subscription, theathletic.com/nodunks. He wrote, Chris did, we tire of the LeBron news cycle. I get it. It's even more excruciating when his team isn't great, which the Lakers are still pretty low there in the standings. But LeBron is 38 years old and playing like a top 10 player in the league right now. I mean, you could probably even go higher than top 10. But anyway, we shouldn't lose sight of how absurd that is. Just because he makes it look normal doesn't mean it is normal. 48 points. Like, this is his third 40-point performance since turning 38. Like, a week ago, or 3 weeks ago, excuse me. This is... I know it's LeBron, so it just all washes over us at this point, but this is nuts, really, what he's doing here.
Yes.
48 points!
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the greats. What can you say? Compare him to Chris Paul. Like, Chris Paul has fallen apart as he's gotten to be at exactly LeBron's age.
As everybody else does, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be a special month of watching LeBron try to score 40-plus every single night. Yeah. Keep doing it.
It also gets a little diminished just because we're in this scoring influx here.
Yeah, I guess.
I think that's part of it. It's just the numbers wash over us because the numbers are just washing over us. But he's the best 38-year-old ever. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think with the people start comparing, Jordan came back, and the Kareem, and the Karl Malone.
Yeah.
But it ain't true. He's rocking it. And good reports that Anthony Davis is starting to smell the possibility of coming back on the court. Yeah, not quite there, but he's sniffing it.
Sniffing it.
This was, just to slip this in here, fun tweet from our guy from the Score Days, Drew Fairservice. Baseball guy.
Wow.
Writing about basketball last night. Wow. We're tweeting, LeBron's first game was so long ago, just four players attempted a three that night, and only two hit one. Last night's Lakers-Rockets game, 18 different players registered a three-point attempt. That's how long this guy's been playing.
Yeah.
Wow.
I saw the list of father sons he's played against. Did you guys see it?
Oh, no, I didn't.
He's played against...
KJ Martin and then Kenyon Martin.
That's one of them. Yep.
And then, obviously, Jabari.
Jabari is one of them. So there's another one, two, three. Three players.
Tim Hardaway?
I don't see Tim Hardaway on the list.
Wow.
Did the Currys? Did he get the Currys?
Dell? I don't think he played against Dell.
Oh, that was close.
Two of these father sons share a first name with Tass's alter ego.
Oh, Gary. We got a Gary.
Double Garys.
Gary Trent.
Nice.
Yeah. Gary Trent Sr., Gary Trent Jr.
We have another set of Garys?
Yes, we do.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Gary Harris's father?
Hall of Famer is the dad.
Paytons.
Oh, the Paytons.
Gary's
wow.
Payton.
Wow.
And the Jaren Jacksons?
Close on the name for the son, for the other player. Could be an all-star. It'll be between him and
Jalen Brunson.
Jalen and Rick. Rick. Jalen and
he's
Rick.
He's played some Garys. Rick. Wow. All the old names.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one. Very good.
Yeah, he's played a long time. 20 seasons. Yeesh. It's wild that he still looks like LeBron he looks like LeBron of 7'6".
He doesn't. He doesn't look
the
same.
What do you mean? He still attacks, throws down.
He does. He doesn't jump as high. He's not as fast.
Wow.
I mean, looks like the LeBron of past. He looks like a 38-year-old version of LeBron. We haven't seen a version
of
like
this. I don't think he looks that much different than a 33-year-old version of LeBron is my point. Not the 25-year-old, but all right.
Dude could fly amazing. In the heat days still.
Let's take our first break. That was our NBA MLK Day recap. When we come back, some trade rumors and a little dunk contest talk. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. That would make me so happy. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything, really. It really is. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can, if that's a 10-minute low-impact class, they got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear, you know, a 30-minute live DJ ride. DJ John Michael, that guy plays the hits. He always gets me going. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
All right, still here in the Classic Factory. Hit the like button if you haven't already. Subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube to everybody joining us live here in the stream team. Okay, before we get to trade rumors, we did have some more dunk contest participant news over the weekend. Delaware Bluecoats guard Mac McClung, who, some of you might say, has accepted an invitation to be in the slam dunk contest at All-Star Weekend in Salt Lake City. This is from our guy Shams Charania at The Athletic. Here's what you need to know about Mac. He's going to be the first ever G League player in the dunk contest, in the NBA dunk contest. He's 6'2". His dunks have been attracting some attention, at least since his college days. And if you're a real dunk sicko, maybe even his high school mixtape, guy can throw down despite being pretty small. He now joins Rockets forward KJ Martin and Blazers rookie Shaedon Sharpe in the contest. So we're still looking for our fourth, at least official word, of our fourth guy. But what was your reaction to Mac McClung, a G League guy, going in the NBA dunk contest? I see some people were like, oh, great, cool. Like, you know, we obviously know he can dunk. Who knows what he can do in a contest? We'll see. But like, other people are like, what? It's gotten this, we've gotten this desperate. We can't even find NBA players to go in this thing, so we now got to go to the G League. Like, I feel like there's two camps to this.
Well, he can fly. I'm familiar with this high school mixtape, and I've been a Mac McClung knower ever since Riff Raff said they were cousins. Mm-hmm. Turns out they're not.
No?
It's one of the many things Riff Raff has lied about. He also didn't used to play for the Lakers, as it turns out, or the Mavericks. Never made it to the NBA.
Riff Raff.
Riff Raff. Yeah, okay. He's always lying. But Mac McClung, he's a former Bull.
I believe that.
I'll give him my jacket. He can be a Delaware blue coat. But my main reaction was the Sixers should be forced to call him up if he's going to be in the dunk contest.
Yeah, that's the weird part.
Just call him up. It's like when the Suns brought up Derrick Jones Jr. 2 weeks before the dunk contest so they could have a representative there doing sweet dunks. Go do some sweet dunks, but doing it at Sixers uni.
That was my first reaction. The G League is a minor league of the NBA. He could be called up.
Mm-hmm.
He could be purchased by anybody if the Sixers don't want him, or traded or whatever. But the NBA wants this. The NBA wants a little spotlight on the G League. The NBA wants to make G League more well-known. I can't decide if this is a good thing or a bad thing. What if he comes in and wins the thing? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because the conversation about a G Leaguer beats the NBA players in a dunk contest. But at the same time, does that motivate NBA players to go in it? I doubt it.
I doubt it.
The guy can fly. I don't think this is a James White situation where it's too late for him to win a dunk contest. I can't decide if this is good or bad, though. It goes both ways. I think we're the biggest G League fans in Atlanta down here. We've all gone to a game. Yeah, it's been exciting.
Yeah.
We're hoping to see Scoot in a couple months. But I don't like it. There's a fourth NBA player that could do it. And do it fine. So I just don't really get it. There's a G League dunk contest. There's a G League All-Star game happening before the NBA All-Star game. You're just kind of giving up, I guess.
I know. That's what some people think's happening here. It's like, wow, we can't even get NBA. We can't even find four NBA guys to actually go in this. Now, maybe that's not the case. Maybe the NBA, like, they want to promote the G League a little more. Mac McClung has made it clear he wants to go in, whatever it is, like they want to showcase. Like, if he puts on a show, like, nobody will really care, I think is the thing. Like, if he goes on to win it in a great contest, like battling Sharp or KJ Martin, whoever the fourth is, like if there's at least two or three guys like putting on a show that night in Salt Lake City, then I think it's fine. If it's a dud like last year, Let's be honest, that was really disappointing, and people struggling with dunks, and it was a bore. And he would go on to win it. Then that would be bad. Then I think it looks really, really bad. But then right. The other part of me is like, a lot of people are like, let's get professional dunkers in this too. Like, let's just put on a show. Is this one step for us to getting to those professional dunkers that do this for a living, to maybe having one of them in it too? Is that good or bad? I don't know. So it's sort of like a wait and see here. And we just pray, like any dunk contest, two guys are putting down their dunks on that particular night and are sort of going at it and gets the arena into it and the fans.
This is the closest we've seen so far to professional dunkers in the dunk contest. Right. I agree on that one, but I don't want to see that personally.
Yeah, yep.
G League is a lot closer to the NBA than professional dunker is. So.
Yep.
I prefer this than, you know, a Jordan Kilgannon or whatever.
Yeah, and we'll wait to find out who the fourth is. I know there are some rumblings that it could be Obi Toppin defending his dunk title. Yes, he did win last year. You may have forgotten that. We were sitting right at this table watching it, were we not?
Yep.
Live with everybody, hopefully, that joined us on YouTube. There's a lot of push for his teammate, Jericho Sims, to be the fourth guy, and I don't know if there's anyone else's name out there. I mean, everybody wants John Morant, but
not now.
It's not happening. Not now, especially with the G League guy. Yeah.
We're veering off course, I think. I know every year that we have a bad year, we just say, well, the dunk contest is done. But if we go on the G League route, mm-hmm. I'm concerned if Mac McClung wins it, that this just becomes the best dunkers between both leagues. Like, maybe NBA players just don't want to do it anymore. Like, this is we're at a point here where NBA players don't really want to do it.
Then stars don't want to do it. We know that. That's been about 5 years running.
Yeah. I mean, that's almost the last time that we had a good dunk contest. It was 2016 that we had a great one, great show. But now we may be saying, okay, the pool is now G Leaguers, you know, in a couple of years, and NBA players who might want to go in it.
Okay, here's the question. Would you rather there is no dunk contest on that Saturday night at All-Star Weekend, or would you rather at least we have some dunkers, be it G League or professional dunkers, whoever we have to, like, dwindle down to? Which one do you want? No dunks? Or some dunks? Oddly, I want dunks, even though we have a podcast called No Dunks.
As much as I hate the time we've had since Zach LaVine's show against Aaron Gordon, I think we just got to grin and bear it and just deal with NBA players who want to do it. And one day there will be a great dunker. Shaedon Sharp could do it.
Of course, that's the thing.
Shaedon Sharp could do it this year as an NBA player. And if Mac McClung was just called up, then we'd have four NBA players.
Call him up.
Call him up. Maybe we will. All right. Let's get into some trade rumors. Our guy Shams at The Athletic, he just dropped his classic inside pass a couple hours before we went live here. We won't get into some of the details in Shams' article just quite yet. Maybe tomorrow, maybe later this week. But it's a lot of the same names. Let's just say that, right? Okay, it's your Jakob Pertls and your Van Vliet and stuff like that. But we did have some rumors from Mark Stein, very plugged in, NBA reporter. First one is the Cavs weighing a three-way trade with the Hawks and the Jazz for Malik Beasley. And so, according to Stein, the Cavs are weighing this three-way trade that could send Hawks forward John Collins, there's that name again, to the Jazz, Malik Beasley to the Cavs, and then from Stein's reporting, Caris LeVert and that expiring, basically $19 million deal, that would be moving away from Cleveland sort of as the obvious trade chip. So I guess probably making its way to the Hawks in this scenario. Ooh. All right, John Collins to Utah, Malik Beasley to Cleveland, Caris LeVert to Atlanta. That's the idea of this three-way trade being reported from Mark Stein. Any thoughts?
Love it for the Cavs. Malik Beasley and his 8 threes per game, yeah. You want that on your roster.
Attempts, you mean. Yeah,
Yeah, 8 threes per game. Yeah, okay. anyway, great.
He shoots him at a decent clip. Like, you know, I mean, 36? Something like that? Is he? Oh, I thought he was a little bit lower. But
I think he's a 40, man. You want guys to spread the floor. They've had question marks with the small forward spot. I'm still an Isaac Okoro fan. Great move, though. Jazz, John Collins, great move. The Hawks.
You like that?
Yeah. Give it a shot. Why the heck not? You've got a runway here of a couple years where you can just try things out. because your salary cap is so low, mm-hmm. why not give it a whirl? He's under contract. They seem to be doing some marvelous things with Markkanen, obviously. Malik Beasley is great right now. Jordan Clarkson. Things are working out pretty well. The Hawks situation, I just don't really get. Caris LeVert is a very, very talented guy, mm-hmm. but it's an expiring deal, and you'd basically be getting a rental for John Collins. I think it would turn from a rental to a long-term deal, and who knows how it's going to work out. The front office here with the Hawks is under much scrutiny. Great articles on The Athletic about what's happening there. Tony Ressler, the owner, has given a lot of power to his 27-year-old son, Nick Ressler, who does not have any NBA experience in terms of management. Landry Fields, 34-year-old GM, has come in. They're just hiring guys left and right that don't have a lot of experience. I don't know what's happening. And I think this would be a move seemingly that would start would fit in with what they're doing. And it's not a good one, I don't think. I love Caris LeVert, but I think you're signing up for years of question marks. Mm-hmm. Like, you just don't. After this DeJounte Murray deal, you gave away all these picks.
Or maybe some draft capital would come back in this hypothetical
maybe.
Three-team trade.
And maybe we make a little too much about the draft picks that went out for DeJounte Murray because one was a Charlotte pick and all that. But still, I'm worried about this team. This team is not playing well, and you're just going to add another long-term deal, and I'm just not sure. Again, it's a rental and it could turn into a long-term deal. It seems like a Hawksy move.
What do you think, Trey, of this reported Stein three-team deal?
Hawks would have to get picks back, yeah. I do believe, because the entire reason they would be doing this is not a rental for LeVert. It would be to get off the deal for John Collins, yeah. so you don't have to pay him long-term. But for this season, they would be getting, of the three guys we're talking about here, Beasley, Collins, and LeVert. For me, Caris LeVert is probably the worst. He's certainly the oldest, and he doesn't have a contract after this year. So if you're moving John Collins, like your most movable piece who's been in trade rumors for the past three seasons, I think the Hawks could do a little bit better than that to help them on the court. I like John Collins on the Jazz. Markkanen and Collins, similar type players. They can play inside. They can play outside. The Jazz have really found something, having a ton of space, basically running five out every single possession down there. The good inside-outside duo between those two. And the Cavs are targeting a shooter here. It is weird. Malik Beasley, I thought he was a 40% shooter. 40% from the field, unfortunately.
Yeah,
36. From three.
Yeah.
But he shoots him.
But he shoots a lot, yeah.
He shoots him, and the Cavs need shooting right now. They're a middle-of-the-road team, but it's between Malik Beasley. They're targeting Tim Hardaway Jr., Doug McDermott, Bojan Bogdanovic. Clearly, they want somebody who's going to stretch the floor on the outside. And I think Beasley would be fine. It'd probably be a platoon with Isaac Okoro. Okoro was great, guarding CJ McCollum in the fourth quarter of the Cavs' win over the Pelicans. But that guy can't shoot. Mm-hmm. You can use him defensively if you've got a guy who can shoot when you need him.
Yeah, yeah, no, I like this. Makes some sense, especially for the Cavs and the Jazz. Maybe less so for the Hawks, but I think there would be some picks of some sort coming back their way if this were to happen.
I guess you're right. The 35%. He was great to start season. Last 10 games, he's at 28% from three.
He's
dropped
cooled up. Off. But but again, that idea, you know, just being a threat, like the guy's going to let it fly, like eight attempts per game is no joke. Our next one here from also from Stein. Tass, I think you're going to like this one. Clippers are interested in a trade for Mike Conley.
Right, Skates.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think about this? And Stein says, you know, the idea, John Wall's injured right now, you know, hasn't played all that great there. He's got this, I believe it's an ab injury. He's going to be out for a couple weeks. Could Conley be a smooth play here by the Clips trying to get him?
Absolutely. They've also been, you know, contemplating whether Reggie Jackson is going to be in the starting lineup. He's played gone to the bench a couple times. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm a Mike Conley lover. He's a stabilizer. I know he's not had the best season with Utah, but it would be a perfect fit. And I do think the Clippers kind of have to go for it. And going for it doesn't mean trading Kawhi or Paul George. But here in year four of this experiment, you got to try and get better. So I think that would help them get better. It would stabilize that point guard position for sure. It doesn't, you know, make them better in terms of exactly what they need. They need a guy who can get to the rim, but at least he would get the ball to the right guys. And, you know, he is a guy who will organize extremely well when you have the injury, as you said, to John Wall and the Reggie Jackson situation there. So, yeah, this is the kind of move that is going for it for them. They also need a backup big, but they also have Moses Brown playing again, a 7-2 wonder in that backup role. But Conley would be an improvement.
Conley is having a rough season shooting the ball. He's shooting 38%, which really, when you look at just full seasons he's played, there was that one year where he didn't play a lot and shot worse than that with Memphis, but otherwise this is his worst when it comes to shooting the ball. But do you think he could help the Clippers as that sort of like just vet point guard in playoff series, you know, just running the offense, taking care of them? He's still scrappy enough on the defense. And what do you think?
He would help the Clippers because they need a point guard with John Wall hurt and Reggie Jackson struggling, but Conley's older than both of those guys. He's more expensive than both of those guys. He's on a longer deal. So to me, the Clippers should not use their limited assets that they actually have to go after Mike Conley. Right. He's not going to really move the needle for him. Just another old guy who misses a lot of time. And the Clippers have enough of that. I think they need more size. They've just got so many wings. They've got so many guys who all play the same positions that they need to figure out some sort of balance here. And I don't think that making a move to bring in another 35-year-old is the way to go.
I didn't know Mike Conley was signed through next year. It's a real Kyle Lowry, got your money situation here. Good move, Conley.
Yeah, I think the idea would be, though he's not even close to the level of player that Jrue Holiday is like when the Bucks made that move for Jrue Holiday, get that point guard. I mean, again, he's just so much better than Conley at this point of his career. And Jrue Holiday was much younger even still. He was like maybe just knocking on 30 when that deal goes down, when he goes from the Pelicans to the Bucks. That's the thinking, though. Yeah, Lowry-like, I guess, but depends how much would be going back to the
right.
Jazz. And will the Jazz, you know, now that they've fallen a little bit in the standings, like, they're going to be a team to watch here, like just what they do, what route they go. Trading Conley, trading Clarkson, and just leaning into really the Markkanen and Kessler front court of the future. Will they do that? Final one here. I teased it off the top. CJ McCollum foreshadowed on his podcast that the Raptors trade, or excuse me, that the Raptors, there's a lot of rumblings around trading potential guys. Now, he didn't want to name names, but then everybody started like going, hold on. He used to play with Gary Trent Jr. in Portland. Oh, he knows Fred VanVleet oh so well. He's the president of the Players Association. He knows all these guys. Who's he talking about? Should he be allowed to say this? I mean, I think it got made into a bigger story than it was because he didn't really say anything that nobody already didn't know, right? That, hey, the Raptors might trade some of their core pieces here because they've been pretty disappointing this season. But do you have thoughts on CJ adding a little fuel to the fire here in Raptors land?
He's a calculated individual. I don't think he would just let that out if there wasn't some meaty substance to it.
Okay.
There is something tangible is definitely going to happen, I think. And he knows that. That's all. Who it is, I don't know. I think he wouldn't have let it slip because he knows what tampering is.
Yeah, he's doing it.
Yeah, I suppose. But he's a player and they can get away with it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Gary Trent Jr. is getting traded.
That's what you think here.
Absolutely. They were teammates.
Yep.
And it feels like Gary Trent Jr. isn't going to get paid by the Raptors.
Right.
I can see you being upset about that, especially being the guy who's in trade rumors all the time. So I imagine CJ is tied in with the Raptors because him and Gary Trent Jr. probably still have each other's phone numbers. So Gary on the move would be my guess.
I think, I believe it was Bobby Marks threw out a hypothetical trade that could have had Gary Trent Jr. going to the Pelicans. Team up there with CJ once again. Devonte Graham, Jackson Hayes, and a future pick for Gary Trent Jr. is what Bobby Marks threw out, I believe, in his latest article when he was going through all the Eastern Conference teams and a trade he would like to see. That wasn't reporting or anything. It was just like him looking at the pieces here.
That's the hottest type of package from the Pelicans, those guys that are barely in the rotation.
Right.
Trade them. Improve a little bit. Just a little bit. I mean, Gary's a good offensive player.
Yeah.
I wonder where he finds the minutes in that rotation.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're so deep. So I don't know if they mess with that. I get the move, but I'm not sure they would mess with that. We threw out the Eric Gordon to the Pelicans hypothetical for a similar type package.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The Raps could use a Jackson Hayes, Jackson with an X. They need a center. Absolutely, they need a center. But I don't know. I don't think so.
You just believe CJ here that he does know somebody on the Raps is getting moved here in the next couple weeks as we get closer and closer to the deadline. Sounded like
what does he know? What does he know?
You talk to somebody on their apps, like, yeah, I'm probably getting moved, man. It's probably going to happen.
Do you think it happens when they're on the court? Blazers just – or not the Blazers. Pels play the raps, and they just say it on the court, like, we hate each other.
I don't know about
somebody's
that.
Getting moved. Well, I don't know about so Gary just tells him, yeah, they're going to trade me. Yeah, Gary, they
that's
know?
That's probably how it works.
All right.
Friends talk to friends, and agents obviously might. I don't know who. I don't know who's repping both those guys or whatever, stuff like that. Like, they know stuff for sure. We know it's being discussed. It's just whether they can, whoever the two parties are, can agree on the deal that makes everybody seem like they're the winner. Which is always the tough part here. Yeah, we'll wait to find out. All right, more trade rumors later this week. If I'm being honest, there's nothing like really all that new and juicy. I guess Poeltl in the latest Shams article. Shams is saying it's feeling more and more likely that the Spurs and the Hornets are going to be your active sellers here at the deadline. I mean, two of the worst teams in the league.
The two worst teams.
Teams that should lean into obviously continuing to be bad and trying to get anything back and picks or young players. That makes sense. You know, and does that mean it's Kelly Oubre Jr. or it's a Plum Dog or it's Poeltl or Doug McDermott or Richardson? I mean, that's probably what it's going to be. It's going to be one, two, or three of those guys being moved here in some of these deadline deals.
That's why every report is that teams are monitoring the Raptors and Bulls to see if they're going to tank because they want actually good players.
They're better players, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes,
they don't want a Plumlee. Nobody wants a Plumlee
traded. Nobody wants a Plum Dog anymore, right?
Man, if the Raptors can get a first-round pick, though, for Gary Trent Jr., that'd be nice.
Get one back. That's what it cost them, right?
Did they?
Norm Powell?
Plus the first.
Who got the pick in that?
I don't think there was a pick exchange, was there?
Oh, wow. I thought there was a pick attached in there somewhere, but
there was a hood
the Raptors
attached.
Have all there, so that doesn't make a lot of sense. Yeah, maybe it was the other way. Let's take our final break. When we come back, pick 'em results from a long, long time ago and a couple Tweet of the Nights.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Hey guys, whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. No sound effects, I don't have them loaded up, and I got too much going on over here. Good news, guys. I finally got the notification from Shopify that the pickle bottle paddle I've had my eye on is back in stock.
Yes.
I have not purchased it yet. Oh. Why? Because I stink at pickleball! Got my ass handed to me yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, my God. So bad. Anyway, Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling scented soap or peddling pickleball paddles, how's that for alliteration?
Nice one.
Thank you. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen's, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. By the way, did you know Shopify is Canadian?
No. I did not know that.
Headquarters in Ottawa.
Wow.
Homer. Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify.com/NoDucks.
All right, pick 'em results from Friday night, which was an eternity ago. It was that Warriors-Spurs game in the Alamo Dome. They did it. Congrats on the record-breaking attendance. What was it in the end? Over 68,000, I think they said.
I was going to say 63, but
No, I think it got up to 68.
Maybe 68,300 and something.
Yeah,
there's
I think
threes,
so.
There's eights. I like.
Did you see some of the photos where people were sitting?
Pretty far.
Wow.
Pretty far.
You could barely see, like, the jumbo screen that they had, multiple screens. You got a number there? What was it?
I'm seeing 68323. Yeah.
There you go. Wow, that's a lot of people.
Yep.
And I thought because of that, the Spurs are going to keep this close for all 68,000 in attendance. Instead, they got walloped. They got hammered. It's an L for me. I'm 3-7 here in January. Just brutal. You guys took the Warriors. They covered that 8.5-point spread by like 25-plus. Tass is 5-5. Trey, a very nice 8-2 here in January. Only 4 games on tonight. Where are we going?
Yeah, TNT doubleheader tonight. Starts off with Toronto-Milwaukee and ends with Philly and the Clippers. Philly is a 1.5 favorite on the road in L.A. This L.A. team that was picked by the majority of the media in the media survey to represent the Western Conference in the NBA Finals recently. This LA team, if they're going to do that, then they got to start doing it now. The Sixers, well, they could win and not cover this line because they win by 1 point a lot. They beat the Lakers just recently there by that 1 point win. Also against the Jazz, back-to-back 1 point wins there. So they could cover. Trey thinks that they will win by 2 or more. Well, we think the Clippers will cover or win. Skeets, why you got the Clippers there?
I have no clue, man. I got no feel on this one at all. I was just confused. You said the Bucks Raptors.
Yeah, start
play
off
tonight.
Yeah,
it's on TNT. Didn't they just play on a nationally televised
TV
game? Was it maybe an ESPN game? But that not long ago, right?
That was an ESPN, yeah.
That was
that
this,
was like the
this
ugly
month.
Yeah. 13-11 first quarter, something
yeah
like that, right?
Yeah. That oh, everyone turned it
that
off.
That was long
yeah
ago?
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy comeback at the end.
Oh, so we got another taste of that tonight, maybe. Is Giannis playing?
No, I don't think so. No. Very, very much that. I think he's missing his third straight game to the knee soreness, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. All right, well, good luck to everybody in that Clippers-Sixers game. Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Excuse me. Voice is going here. A couple Tweet of the Nights. First one from @BraxTheCreator. Who tweeted at us on the weekend, guys. Here I was, I made a pizza and everything, ready to bask in the OKC glory of the best of the weekend. And to my surprise, alas, no episode. I've been crying on my couch for the last hour. I hope you are ashamed of yourselves. Yeah, replying to me there and the No Dunks Twitter account because we didn't have a show yesterday on MLK Day. Took the day off. Usually would do our Monday winners and losers of the NBA weekend. And Brax, the creator, was like, for sure you would have had OKC as a winner of the weekend. And he's right. I mean, this is unfortunate timing on OKC's part. They finished out their 4-game road trip with 2 more wins over that weekend. They beat the Bulls by 14 on Friday night. Then they beat the Nets in Brooklyn by 10 on Sunday. Josh Giddey. He's on one right now.
He's balling.
Offensively, something has clicked for that guy. He's tallied at least 20 points in 8 of his last 12 games, including 3 straight games to finish that Thunder road trip. You know, SGA still balling out. These guys are putting up a lot of points. He had a career high. Giddey did 28 on Sunday against the Nets as he flirted with a triple-double. OKC's won 5 of their last 6 games, and they are right there knocking on the play-in door. And thank God we had him in play-in potential when we did our tiers,
great
boys.
Call. What great
a
call.
We bumped him up. One tier, yeah. They're a game and a half out of the 6th spot in the Western Conference. OKC is.
Well, those dudes are throwbacks. The ball handlers, Giddey and SGA, they don't shoot threes.
That's right.
They want to get in the paint.
It's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Giddey's a big boy, too.
Large
he's, man. I think he even talked about, like, he's, like, trying to cut out the floater that he was, like, trying to do early in his NBA career here. He's like, I'm a big dude. I can take the contact. I can finish a, you know, not over these guys because he's not, you know, putting anyone on a poster, but at least take that contact and finish inside with that touch. He's got that Australian strength. I'm convinced every Australian person is very, very strong.
I agree.
And they don't know it.
And they got to fight kangaroos.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, maybe that's
a part
of it.
You got to have strong arms for that. I saw also that the Bulls called him Timothy Chalamet, so now he's calling himself Himothy Chalamet.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Him and her.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Women are bosses too, man.
So there you go, Brax. Just want to show a little love to OKC, who are they're clicking right now. But the second tweet of the night from @WSlam, Maya Moore, over the weekend officially announced her retirement. Look at some of the accolades here. 4-time WNBA champ, 2013 Finals MVP, 2014 WNBA MVP, 6-time WNBA All-Star, 3-time All-Star of the MVP, excuse me, of the game itself. She also won 2 titles in college. Just a winner, Maya Moore. And says there, thank you, Maya, for what you've done for this game, and more importantly, what you've done for this world. And in case you forgot, she walked away from the WNBA in 2018 to fight for a wrongly convicted man's freedom. And won.
And
that's
married
all
him.
She does. And then married him.
Amazing stuff.
And there was a tweet going around. I forgot to grab it. Her record in any basketball game she's ever played. And it's like,
yeah,
it's like something like she's won like at every level, right? Like, I forget what it was, 85% of her games, something stupid. Just wins.
I mean, she's one of the greatest players ever. So yeah. Obviously in high school, her teams were awesome, but I feel like she won 4 state titles in high school or something like that and just kept winning to the point where it got boring. She had to go fight legal battles.
And
won
those
as well. So yeah, Maya Moore, one of the GOATs.
Yep, yeah. Absolutely.
Off the court, she kicked ass. It wasn't just freeing that wrongfully imprisoned man, but as the Aces' Sydney Colson tweeted, a great tweet from her. I love how Maya Moore took off 6 years unannounced, had 5 kids, opened 4 law firms worldwide, and 3 local daycares, all while working to free one man from prison whom she would later marry and write a book with. And then she says she's retiring. Goat behavior. On her sked.
Yep,
done
absolutely.
And done.
All right, that's it for today's show. Thanks for joining us. If you join us live on YouTube, we appreciate it. Hit the like button, subscribe, and share the show with your friends as we now start our new quest of 70,000 subs on YouTube. Reminder to check out Is This Good? It went up yesterday. The Ringer's Waz joining Matty O and JD to talk about a number of topics. I guess, JD, you talked a lot about your travel fun over the holidays. Is that correct? I haven't had a chance to listen to this yet.
We only had Waz for about a half hour.
Okay.
So the second half of the show is just me and Matt shooting the shit about Europe.
Oh, I can't wait to listen to that. That's all I need to hear. To dig into Is This Good, that's available on YouTube if you want to watch that as well, or download and listen to it wherever you get your podcasts. We're back tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern, here from the Class Factory, here for the remainder of the week. So we hope you join us. Till then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, I feel like this could be a topic on Is This Good. I think it's... they're branching out. Matt Brant and JD are branching out. Just Europe. Is this good?
Wow, that's a...
I think they would do
all-encompassing topic.
Man. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what you did for the second segment, JD.
Yeah, pretty much. Europe. Is it good? Tune in to find out.
All right, great tease.
All right. Brace the day, people.